Hey everyone, welcome to the Chicago Endurance Sports Training Podcast. In this edition, we bring you our Coach's Corner that will cover specific topics that fit into the different phases of our training season and based off the frequently asked questions from the participants. In this edition of Coach's Corner, we are chatting specifically about our training plans today and the details of those plans that have started going out to our CES family members. We will first start this podcast with a warm-up of just us kind of chatting about our own training, then bring you into the workout portion where we provide the nitty-gritty of today's topic, and a cool-down, home stretch, kind of just setting up what to look forward during the training week. My name is Coach Lori, and I am the head running coach of the CES programs and the lead coach out of the Old Town location. This is my 15th summer coaching with CES and excited to recognize that CES is celebrating 20 years of providing training to thousands of individuals that have trusted us with that sort of training and building into their lifestyle routine. I am with
Cynthia Kamak. I'm the lead coach at Lincoln Square, and I've been coaching with CES for 6 years, and before that I was a pacer for 2 years. So I'm very excited to be here for the 20th anniversary as well.
We'll kind of warm you up here.
Yeah, I'll lead us into a nice warm-up. We're going to just chat a little bit about our week of running and or not running. So I'm going to start with a struggle for this week, and that is finding out that the Boston Marathon is now canceled. It's no longer postponed. And I'm struggling with that because I know a lot of runners that I help train and a lot of my friends were planning on just destroying that race this year, and they were very excited for having accomplished, you know, making that goal and qualifying to get into Boston. And now they can do it virtually, which is not as fun, let me tell you. Running in Boston is an amazing experience. So they have the option of doing it virtually, or they can just get a full refund. And I know a lot of people are pretty upset, and they were hoping to defer to 2021, and people seem to be getting faster, so it feels like yet another disappointment in the year 2020. But successes I've had this week is I've finally mastered, the art of running in heat and humidity with a mask. So I'm feeling pretty confident about my mask wearing skills, and at first it was very frustrating for me, but I'm able to get some faster paces for myself and get a good speed workout in while wearing my mask without feeling like I am going to suffocate. So that's been my week. How about you, Coach Lori?
Well, we started off with struggles. One of the struggles I've had over the probably past 10 days is being consistent in my routine and workouts. It's been hard for me to kind of get out the door, but I have a number of things I'm juggling. I have two kids and I am working a full-time job and getting ready to prepare all this wonderful stuff for our 20th anniversary for summer training, which we're super excited about. But one of those things I needed to do, which helped me, was sort of reevaluate how I was spending my time and how I was prioritizing things that were important to me. And I realized that running is important to me and I needed to prioritize that more. And one of the reasons why I was able to run more consistently before is, one, I was able to run home from work. So I used it as a commute. And because I'm working from home now, I'm losing that, you know, the 7 mile commute that I would run home with every day. So I'm losing that time. And the other way I would get a run in is I would run in a double jogger with my children. And I hadn't been comfortable with doing that recently. But a success was, is I had figured out over the past 3 days how to get them out and the correct and appropriate routes to take them out in the double jogger. And then I've noticed that it reduced my anxiety by just having them with me and having them with me on that run. And so I felt way more comfortable on that run. So for me, it's a huge success. And going into summer with feeling comfortable running with both of the kids and the jogger, I feel pretty confident now that, you know, I can sort of get through this first phase of marathon training, which is kind of building our base, which is what we'll be kind of doing in the program with everybody and talking a lot about over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's great, man. And that double jogger is no joke, folks. I mean, not only are you running miles, but you're getting a solid core workout.
Yeah, Coach Cynthia knows. Coach Cynthia and I have been training partners for quite a while, and she's gone out in the double jogger with me, and so we've kind of split the duties, but we really do appreciate the core workout that you do get by having those munchkins in the double jogger. It's kind of like an SUV of strollers.
Yeah, and man, it's like resistance training. Like back in the 90s and late 80s when you would put like weights on your wrists and ankles, that's like running with a double wide stroller.
Yeah, or like a weighted vest. And when there's wind resistance, adds a little bit more intensity to the workout. But, you know, because it's kind of an SUV, I mean that by that it's so sturdy that you can actually run in the grass with it and push it through. And so that's one of the ways I was actually able to figure out how to go out and run with it, just with, you know, the limited space that we have. So there's a park next to me that is open and it's got a lot of grassy area. So if I need to move out of somebody's way, I can push that stroller in the grass. Another little extra strength is required. However, we are able to manage it. So therefore I can get a pretty good workout with some good distance in there as well.
Well, that's excellent. And that brings us right into our next segment of Coach's Corner. And that is, now that we're warmed up, we're going to get into the run. Boy, since this is the first week of marathon and half marathon training for the summer, we've got a lot to talk about, Coach Lori.
We do. So the first thing we'll talk about is people are going to probably want to know what to expect in their training package. And the first step is sort of you guys telling us about yourself. And you do that by what's called filling out the participant facts form. It asks a number of questions regarding where, you know, what your training goals are, where you're at with training at the moment, you know, the number of miles and workouts that you might have been doing over the past 6 weeks. Personal training goals for the season. And again, it just kind of asks you other things about your health and fitness. So we use that to bring you to the next thing you can expect from us, which is your training plan that's assigned by your coaches.
Yeah, and we have several training plans available to meet all levels of athletes. And our training plans are split up by color. So once you've filled out that facts form and you get a training plan, you'll notice that you either have a purple or green or blue or red or yellow, depending on what your coach feels after reading your facts form, and they can figure out where you're at and what training plan works best for you. So we're going to kind of go over the six levels of training right now.
Yeah, and so then there's a method to the madness of those levels that we would put you in those plans. So when we go over them, we can kind of tell you a little bit about the type of athlete too that falls into that training plan. But again, we use that facts form to look at if you've had a recent injury, if you haven't ran for a while. There's a number of factors that we really do take in consideration to make sure that you are getting the appropriate plan that we have built out. So the first, there's kind of a beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And then within those, there's different bases of mileage as well. We also have three continuous run plans and two run walk plans. And like Cynthia said, they are built out by the name of a color. I'll go over what the run walk plans kind of look like, and then I'll have Cynthia go over the continuous run programs look like. So the run walk programs that we have, they're called either green or purple, and it's two differences between them. One is the run walk interval that you're actually doing, and then the other one is the amount of mileage you're doing. So if you're not familiar with the run walk method, it's something that we highly encourage at CES, just because there's a number of athletes that actually fit into that. Sometimes people coming into this program have never really heard of that method or think that the run walk is not actually like real running if you're not continuously running all the time. But this is a very efficient way for a lot of our athletes to run. So the green program, it's a little bit more of an intermediate mileage type of plan. It runs by a 5-1 run walk. So that means you're running 5 minutes and walking 1 minute throughout your workouts. And the first week of mileage, your long run is going to look about 5 miles. So we would, you know, put somebody in that plan that would be ready to run about 5 miles. And then the paces that people generally run within that green program can run anywhere from 10:30 to 12:30. And that means overall for the mileage. So that includes the walk interval in that mileage. So you might actually be running a 10:30 mile, but with the 1 minute walk, then your overall mileage, overall mile might end up being 11 minute mile. In the purple program, it's a 3-2 run walk program. So running for 3 minutes, walking for 2 minutes. That program starts around 4 miles. So being prepared for 4 miles is good with that. And then the paces with that also can kind of overlap between, you know, a 12 minute to a 13:30 mile. We typically suggest that people are ready to run faster than a 14 minute mile going into half and full marathon training. A lot of that has to do with, those are sort of the cutoffs for the races that are around. And two, we find that people that are around that pace have more comfortable experiences with building the long run mileage across the summer training program. Cynthia, would you like to talk about the continuous run programs?
I sure would. I sure would, Lori. So we have our lowest mileage continuous run program, and that is the blue program. And that's if you're a continuous runner, but this is like your first marathon, or maybe you're coming back from an injury, or this isn't your first marathon, but you haven't been running for like 4 years. So it's a nice way of building up mileage, getting you ready for that higher half marathon or marathon mileage. And this gets paces from 10 to 11:30, and we start you off at 6 miles for that. And then we have our red program, and that gives you some intermediate mileage. That's for people who have maybe done a marathon before, or maybe your pace is a little bit faster. So your weekly mileage is going to be a bit longer than the blue program. And that we start you off with 6 miles for your longest run. And then our yellow program is our more advanced program. You've been running for a while, you have a good base under your belt, or if you're naturally just gifted to be pretty quick, whether you were have a history of track or something, and that's paces 9:30 and faster. And we start you off at 8 miles there. So one thing that's great between yellow, red, and blue program for our continuous runners is as you grow throughout the training, you can, and once we are able to get to in-person training, you can bounce around between the programs if you feel like you have really gained some strength and gained some speed, gained some endurance, gotten some of your muscle memory back. So, yeah, like Coach Lori said before, like we cover the whole gamut of athletes, and we do believe that you are all athletes, whether you are in the purple program or the yellow program. Our training plans will help you get to the start line and cross that finish line, whatever that finish line is.
Yeah, so our programs, they, you know, everybody can kind of overlap in between them. And what I mean by that is every athlete's a little bit different on what their needs are. So there are some athletes that are at different paces at higher mileage, or some athletes that are at different paces that are lower mileage. So what I mean by that is it seems, we don't want it to seem pretty rigid of where people fall. So then that's why we have a coaching staff as well that can help you sort of navigate what the best training plan is for you. And then we can make little tweaks as well in what is going to help you set the goals that you are starting off the season with. So the next thing we want to talk about is just kind of how that, once you get that training plan, we kind of explained where the longest runs sort of start and what the different colors mean. But how is that training plan structured? So in the training plan, what you're going to see throughout the week, it's slightly different based on if you're in a beginner, intermediate, or advanced mileage plan. But overall, you're going to see one rest and recovery day. You're going to see one long run day that builds throughout the summer. You're going to see a speed and strength training day. You'll see a little bit of cross training. And some plans have all plans have easy, just your easier, shorter runs in there. And then some plans will have some tempo and hill running built into them as well. So to speak specifically about what, you know, some of those workouts might look like within that structured plan, one of the first ones that come up that people ask about is about the hill training. Cynthia, do you want to talk about what hill workouts might look at? Because there's lots and tons of questions that come up.
Yeah. When people see that, they're like, hill workouts, but we live in Chicago. So excuse me, what are you talking about? Well, we know that finding a hill in Chicago to do a hill workout is probably the hardest part of your hill workout. Once you find it, you just have to get through it. But hill workouts, you'll see that on your schedule. And as far as in Chicago, where do you find a hill? There are a couple natural hills. If you look up sledding spots online, sledding spots near you in the summer, luckily people won't be sledding down them and you can use those hills. But also there are parking garages that you can run up and run down to get your hill workouts in, as long as there are no cars running in them. And when and if the path ever opens up again, some of those on-ramps to the path and off-ramps, especially when you get closer to Navy Pier and you go south, would count as hills. So hills are basically, if your plan says to do six hills, you want 30 seconds of running up a hill. So you want the hill to be big enough. So 30 seconds of running up the hill will happen. So the hill needs to be bigger than 30 seconds at your sprint speed. And if you are lucky enough to have a treadmill, you want to put your incline at 5 to 10%. And if you're like, but Cynthia, the marathon or the race that I'm training for doesn't have any hills, well, that's all good, but hills are great for even the flattest races because it trains your muscles to fire more quickly and forcefully on any type of terrain. So you will be ready for the flattest race in the world, or you'll be ready for a few hills, but it really helps engage your glutes, your quads, and your hamstrings. So running up the hill for 30 seconds, that counts as one hill, folks. But yeah, hills are a great way to get your legs in shape for any type of run.
So the workouts might, so you guys will be getting a Training Peaks account, which we hadn't actually talked about yet, but when you do get the training plan from us, you'll get just a PDF outlook of that plan. Like people like to say that's the fridge plan. So you kind of put it up on your fridge so you can kind of see what's coming up that day, but you'll get a Training Peaks account that explains all these workouts for you. And we highly encourage everyone to do use them because it will have workout explanations in there. But from time to time, everybody has good questions about how they read what that workout says. And one of the number one questions we get for the hill workouts, especially when they first come in up, is it might say, you know, run for 40 minutes and do 4 to 6 hills. People are wondering, well, wait, do I do that in the middle of my workout? Do I do it at the end of my workout? What is that? And it sort of depends on where you find your hills. If you can do that and, you know, you've warmed up for 10 minutes and then you find that hill within the 40 minutes that you're doing it, you can most certainly do those repeats within the middle of the workout, or you can find a hill at the end and do them at the end as well. This is something a lot of people, it just depends on your situation where you're at. You know, you might be a virtual participant coming from another, living in another state, and so your hill situation might be better than what ours is living in the city of Chicago, especially with the lakefront path closed at the moment. But this is one that you can continue to ask your coaches about as well if it's not entirely clear. But to Cynthia's point, the hill workouts is actually, you can kind of look at it as a speed workout just because of how much stronger you get and how much that will complement how much easier other workouts will feel based on this type of workout.
Yeah, especially when you're used to running on flat area in Chicago. People sometimes say they get a runner's butt, which means No butt at all. It's like you go from back to calf. And he'll work out, as well as some of the cross-training stuff that we're going to be discussing, will help you get that nice booty. And a nice solid booty and core will do nothing but compliment you throughout your running journey. So yeah, those are our hill workouts. Another workout that you might find in your training plan is the good old tempo run, right, Lori?
Yeah, the good old tempo. No, so that a lot of times too, for some of the training plans, we alternate hill workouts with tempo workouts. So you might see that on your Monday plan. So you might have hills 1 week, and the next week you might have a tempo run. And what this type of run is, you can look at it as this. It's not like an all-out speed workout, but it's a type of run we help. It's an endurance-building run. You do at a little bit of a faster pace. It's almost like building closer to that race pace. But it's a type of run where the pace you're trying to hold is something that you could hold for about, for like a 10K or about an hour. So it's like a 10K pace-ish. But these are ones that can sort of bring together speed training with endurance training. And one of the best types of workouts for endurance running. They're almost, sometimes if you can't get the other speedier workouts in, getting those tempo workouts in are one of the most complementary type of workouts for endurance running.
Yeah, especially if you have time goal in mind for your race, the tempo run is great because it helps work on that muscle memory. So your legs, and it helps with your confidence because you're running faster than your marathon pace. And you're doing it for, like Lori said, between 45 minutes and an hour. So you know that your body is able to move that quickly in that amount of time. And your marathon pace is going to be much slower than that. So it's kind of something that on those Mondays when you have a tempo run, you can catalog that in your brain and be like, well, I knew I could do this for 45 minutes. And come race day, when you only have 45 minutes left of your race, you're going to be like, well, I ran much faster than this for 45 minutes. So it's a confidence booster as well as helps with your legs and muscle memory for knowing how to work hard and quickly for an extended period of time.
So what are the other type of workouts that, or just other sort of embellishments to workouts that you will see in your training peaks? You'll see it sometimes at the end or beginning of the run. It'll talk about, you know, do 8 to 10 accelerations or strides. And a lot of people don't actually know what those are either. In training peaks, it is described, but I like to talk about them here because I think they're really applicable to a situation a lot of people might be in, because we are going to put in some sort of some track workouts and repeats in your training schedule. However, if that's something that you can't quite have access to right now, these accelerations and strides, again, really, really complement your workouts. They're easy to do and they will add a lot of strength and speed and running economy. So Cynthia, do you want to describe what they are?
Yeah, sure. So strides or accelerations are doing just that. Like if you imagine you're in a car and you want to accelerate, you hit the gas, right? So I often tell runners when it says like do 6 strides at the end of a run, like you're going to want to run hard for like a block, or sometimes it's for like 200 meters. So it's an extended period of time where you're running full out and then you give yourself some recovery. And then you do it again and give yourself some recovery. And the reason we often do this at the end of a run is so that you know that your body can kind of go to that next gear on tired legs. And this is super helpful for building endurance, because if you're going to be out there for 13.1 or 26.2 miles, at some point you're going to have tired legs. At many points, you're going to have tired legs. And if you practice doing this at the beginning of your training, then, you know, practice makes perfect. So your legs are going to know that even when they're tired, they'll be able to continue and get to that shift to that next gear. So, you know, when you hit that wall come race day, it's only going to be a mental wall because you've been practicing getting to that next gear. And man, I've been doing strides for the second half of my running life. And the difference between not doing them and doing them is the difference between hurting for several days after a race and hurting for like a day after the race. It's just so helpful. I mean, and it's a fun way, especially now that the lakefront path is open. It's a great way to get your run over sooner. And you can always be like, oh man, I'm just going to speed up for this next block, or I'm going to make that green light. So it's a great tool to have in your running tool belt.
Yeah. So we just talked about three different workouts that you'll see, listen to your training peaks, listen to your training plans that help build strength, and endurance and a little bit of speed to your workouts. But we actually do have a day built out that is the speed and strength training days. So the first 4 weeks, you're going to see the first one's going to talk about good form running. And if we were had met in person, we would have gone over that as a clinic, but we will post a link to that. So you can kind of get an idea of what the good form running is like and certain tools that you can use to think about your own running form and how to tweak that. Good form running in general is something you'll be working on throughout the entire season. You work on that throughout your entire running. There's always certain things that you can do to improve what you are doing as a runner. And so like certain topics that will be in there is just your cadence and your footfall and just a little bit more things to be more conscious about, well, where your body is in space that'll help you become a more efficient runner. And then that first week too, we talk about base building, but one of the workouts that we're going to encourage is a 1 mile time trial. That is if you have access to try to do that. And that is just one of those things that we like to do throughout the season. It sort of helps you figure out what your level of fitness is at the moment. And it figures out your training pace. And your training pace is one of the big ones we'll ask you to figure out for the first month. It's going to be the most helpful as you build mileage is your long run pace. And that long run pace is something that's super important that you can maintain and not be race pacing all the time, because you're going to recover faster, you're going to feel more comfortable, and you're going to be able to build mileage in a safer and more comfortable way throughout the summer. But other speed training type of workouts will build up too. So we kind of start off with like that 1 mile time trial to help you determine those training paces. That 1 mile time trial too will help you determine where you should fall in the other workouts that we build up to. So we might build up to some interval workouts. So interval workouts can be timed or they can be in distance. And we'll help you guys throughout the summer too if you don't have access to a track. If we are talking about, let's say, quarter mile repeats, which is like one time around a track, if you're not familiar, if you're kind of new to running and trying to figure out the terminology we're saying, we might convert that to just a 2 minute fast repeat as well. But both of them are timed. All of them are set up to be something that improves something called VO2 max. And that's just how efficient your body uses oxygen and gets oxygen to those muscles to help you drive yourself to be a bit faster and help all of your workouts that are prescribed within the week feel more comfortable. What else can you say about our speed training workouts?
Well, for speed training, I like to think of it as the one day that you don't have to like running. So your other running days can be easy and breezy, and this should be the day where you're kind of letting it all out and leaving it out on the sidewalk. Besides like the repeats and the 1 mile speed test, we also have something called a negative split run. And this is a terminology, if you're just getting into running, that you will never hear the end of. It's like the cupcake at the end of a day. Like it's something you always want to be able to reach. So negative split means that the second half of your run is faster than the first half, which turns out it is pretty tricky to do because you naturally fatigue the longer you're out there. We throw some negative split runs into our speed work to get you used to how that feels. And that generally is we start with your moderate pace, like your long run pace, and then you will gradually increase your pace as time goes by, which it can be very difficult because, like I said, your body gets tired the longer you are running. So it teaches you to be a little more conservative with how quickly you speed up. And it'll also help you become a little more aware of your actual pace and when you're running. So it's super helpful to help you on race day, but also to help you become a little more aware of your body and how quickly you can actually go and what one pace feels like over another pace.
Yeah, I mean, the art of that is something a lot of first-time marathoners never believe you, that you can't just start off super fast. You have to start off your races uncomfortably slow, like so uncomfortably slow you feel like
you're in quicksand almost.
You're in quicksand. And what a lot of times will uncomfortably slow will actually feel like, especially when the race adrenaline happens, when the race first starts, you might look down and be like, I was uncomfortably slow. And then you realize you were still faster than what your long run training pace was. But that's because the adrenaline that kicks in just takes over something. There's just something about it that it takes over that you do.
Yeah, you don't realize you were a superhero the whole time.
You were a superhero. But the people that always, once people have that aha moment or have that aha race, they started off slow and have that negative split, they never go back and they believe you. But it is one of those things that probably one of the things we talk about the most with our first time half and full marathoners. The next things we'd like to talk about is we have cross training built into the training plan. And this is one of the most difficult things, especially for people that like to run every single day.
That's right. It's so hard to do cross training once you felt how good and sweaty it is to get out and run. And then when you're done, you're done.
So people ask us what cross training can be, and cross training can be a number of things. Sometimes the first simple answer might be not running, but anything that's not running. But you know, the traditional ones might be cycling. Some people like to do elliptical. Some people
swimming.
Anything that does add a little bit of cardio, so it's kind of an aerobic type of workout. And some people like to do yoga, but whatever it is, you're using other muscle groups, and by using other muscle groups that you're not using with just running all the time, you're going to strengthen the muscle groups that you are using with running all the time. And as the mileage gets longer, you're going to need those other muscle groups to feel strong, because as your muscles start to fatigue on a 14, 16, 18 mile run, your form's going to break down a little bit, but you can kind of make sure that it doesn't break down so much if other muscle groups are ready to sort of activate and support the longer distances. That's like one way I can talk about cross training and give you kind of a big picture of how it helps you long term.
Right. Like if you think of your body as an ant farm, okay, and then you've got your main ants that are doing the work, and you get to mile 18, and those ants that were sleeping at the corner of the ant farm that don't get a lot of attention, they need to get their little legs moving. So as we all think of our body like an ant farm, you need to make sure all of those ants are strong so that when your body calls on all of them, they can run around and be a little more entertaining. Or for your marathon, for your body, they can be stronger and get you across that finish line.
Well, all these years of coaching with you, I've never heard the ant farm analogy. So I can't believe you've been hiding that little slice of happiness and perspective.
Yeah. I've never said it out loud, but it's perfect.
I'm glad you spent this time perfecting that. That's great. Moving on. Well, let me talk a little bit more about cross training too, because we really do. This is the time as well to develop whatever that cross training piece is going to be. Maybe you're already doing that kind of cross training. If you really are already doing that kind of cross training and adding the running to it, you're going to start off with at a stronger foundation. But if you haven't done a lot of cross training yet, this is a good time as well to add it in. Again, as you marry those pieces of building the distance and the cross training together, you're going to have a much better experience on your longer runs, especially when you get into the different phases of training where you're really, really ramping up and building the mileage. Other cross training pieces, it doesn't have to necessarily be on the cross training day, but it's just strength training components that will encourage you guys to add. So even adding 8 to 10 minutes a day of exercises that complement running, these things are going to be core exercises like doing planks, doing bridges, doing wall sits, squats, lunges, even just 8 to 10 minutes of that, even 4 times a week will make a huge difference. And over a month's time, if you commit to that, you will notice a difference in your workouts.
Absolutely. And when we go over the good form running, turns out that your body needs to be upright to run more efficiently. So if you're neglecting your core and your upper body at all, continuing to be upright forever, how long it takes you to run that marathon is going to be difficult. So, you know, preparing yourself ahead of time and making sure you strengthen those things. And boy, will we be able to teach you a lot of those moves throughout the training. But yeah, planks all day, man. They will help you. They engage every muscle in your body if you do them right. So you might as well start doing that now.
Yeah, and a couple of our coaches have already committed to doing some, as we start off virtually, committing to guiding you through some of those exercises, especially the ones that complement running the most. So other workouts you can expect, then there's the rest and recovery day that's in there. That rest and recovery day can be some light yoga, but we call it kind of a recovery day too, where it doesn't have to necessarily be, okay, now I get to lay on my couch and eat chips all day. Although everybody's entitled to that one day a week if they want, especially when the mileage gets longer, recovery could be just active movement, just going out for a walk. I'm going out for a walk right now. Obviously, it's super healthy and refreshing, and the weather has gotten nice, so we've got excited about that.
Yeah, and remember the recovery day, especially if you're somebody who is really addicted to working out and moving, a recovery day is just as important as all those other days in your training. Your body does need a chance to mend itself, right? So every time you are working out and putting stress on your body, the little tears are happening in your muscles, and you need a day for those tears to recover, which is why we call them a recovery day. But going on,
And when they do recover, I mean, when your body is adapting to different training stresses, every time it recovers, it becomes a little bit stronger. And that piece of becoming stronger is that recovery day. But that also talks about our cutback week. So with the program, you can expect that, you know, for the first half, you're building mileage for the first 3 weeks in that long run, and then you're cutting back, and then you're building another 3 weeks long run mileage and cutting back. So those cutback weeks still apply to the same principle of getting stronger with your workouts by allowing yourself some time to recover and cut back on the mileage. So also just speaking of that, just kind of how we build mileage up and down across the summer, there's the different phases of training that we like to look at. So we're going to talk about it in sort of a 5 to 6 phased type of perspective. So the first 4 weeks we would call the base training phase. And that base training phase, there's the things that we would like for you to accomplish. One, you get the training plan, and we want you to try the workouts for the first 2 or 3 weeks and be as consistent as possible. The number one thing that's going to make you successful in an endurance training program is being consistent. So you have to be consistent throughout the entire season to have the best experience that you can possibly have. Now, being consistent doesn't mean you have to have every single workout done. Sometimes you might be, you have some work stresses or something's going on. You might miss 3 or 4 days. You might get off for a little bit, but if that's okay, just get right back on here. So you have to look at it, consistency component throughout the season, but you will get an idea if you're going to be able to hold the prescribed workout plan, if it's going to fit what works for you within the first 2 weeks, if you kind of log those in and see if you got them in.
Yeah. That consistency is a key part. And as Lori said, like kind of figuring out, like, is this running plan going to work with my actual life, or what do I have to tweak here? And that's where you can reach out to your coaches too, so we can help you do some of that tweaking, because building that habit is super important when building a base. If you think of it like an ant farm, it's like putting those ants I'm not going to let go of this ant farm. It's like putting those ants right into the ant farm, and you got to make sure they stay alive.
Okay. That's good. And they'll stay alive if they're consistent, yes.
That's right.
We can go with the ant farm theme. Maybe that'll be a theme for the summer.
Who knows?
We can build on that.
Okay, yeah. Because that's what they're builders.
That's right. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So the other part of the first phase of training in that base building is trying to find your long run pace. I've already sort of covered that with that 1 mile time trial workout, but it is important that you figure out what that pace is, whether or not you are a first time marathoner or you are somebody that is trained for a lot of marathons or just came out of a race. You always phase in and out of different levels of fitness throughout the year. So, you know, if you are somebody that has done the race, you might be recovering. So your long run pace might be a little bit different. But we talk about it in a few different ways and how to figure out what that long run pace should be. First of all, it should on a scale from 1 to 10, it should not be, with 10 being the most difficult, it should not be something that you're going all out 8 or 9 on that scale. It should be something that's more like a 5 or a 6. You could think about it as this. You should also, I would say, the talk test, where you should be able to talk to the person next to you. Unfortunately, that sounds so mean at the moment, but
right. Just get somebody on the phone. Like if there's a phone call that you have to have and you don't have to be in front of your computer, boom, that's your long run.
That's your talk test.
Aunt Martha.
Aunt.
That's right.
So, yeah, so we say a talk test. So you don't want it to be something where you're so out of breath you can't talk to somebody. It's supposed to be a very comfortable pace. Your heart rate also should be relatively on the lower side. So you shouldn't be hitting closer to your max heart rate on those runs. And sometimes, too, depending on the weather or how you're feeling or how you're recovering, too, you might have to adjust that pace. But if your heart rate is spiking during those runs, if your heart rate is consistently spiking during those runs, then you need to adjust it to a slower pace. People kind of don't understand, especially the first timers, like, how am I supposed to finish this race at the pace that desired if I'm not constantly training my long run pace that way? And what it is you do the speedier type of stuff during the week, you do the longer stuff on the weekends, and you marry both those things on race day. If you marry both those things every week, you're constantly race pacing all the time. And your race day experience, most people will sort of bomb their goal because they've been race pacing all season and they never let their body recover.
Yeah, it would be similar to like if not, this is not an ant thing, I'm going to move it to cars. So like, let's say you have a car that you drive, and let's say you're always driving that car in third gear, and even on a slower road, you're going to burn out your transmission. So you don't want to burn out the transmission of your legs and your heart. You want to be able to easily move to a higher gear, saving it for race day. I think that works better than the ant farm. Oh, I'll say it out loud. Yeah, that was better.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
So those are the first two things we want you to accomplish in the base training phase, along with, you know, the first 3 weeks, you will be slowly building mileage. And depending on the program described, it might be from 4 to 6 miles or, you know, 8 to 11 miles. Again, we have a wide range of programs that we're going to suggest based on the athlete. The next phase would be kind of looking at like building and sharpening your skills. So the mileage starts to really build up. And during that like 5 to 8 weeks time, you're going to get closer to that double digit mileage. You'll notice that the speed and strength training workouts are getting a little bit longer and a little bit more intense, and a little bit more volume is added to that as well. But that's where you're really starting to get comfortable with the training. And so again, you're going to reevaluate what your pacing is. It might get a little bit warmer in the summer too, so that changes based on how everybody adapts to the heat. What other pieces happen during the building phase, Coach Cynthia?
Well, you're starting to, like you said, sharpen your skills. And what you want to remember during that part is it's more about time on your feet. So you're really just, now that you've learned how to like build up mileage and you've recovered a couple of times, this phase is getting you ready to really put in some more meatier mileage. So it's allowing you to build those muscles so that when you do bump it up with your speed training and hit those double digit miles, you're not going to injure yourself. You're really preparing your body, sharpening your skills for that next step. And so after that, we have our phase three, which is getting to double digit mileage. It's peaking in mileage, building on speed training. And that's where you're going to hit for your long mileage between 16 and 20 miles. So this is the phase where you can eat a few more calories. You know, if you want to have some of those chips on the couch, you've deserved it. But this is where you really have to take care of your body by feeding it well and giving yourself plenty of rest. And for me, this is generally when I resort back to being like a four-year-old and I'm constantly eating and I have to sleep 9 hours a night.
This is the phase two. The more you sleep, the better you're going to feel. And the reason for that is the more training stress you're putting on your body, the more your body is going to need recovery more during sleep. And we're actually going to cover this a little bit later this summer about sleep and recovery. But that first part of your sleep is when you release the most growth hormone. And that growth hormone is actually going to help your muscles recover faster. So people think that it might be the training stress in itself if they do sort of develop an injury, but sometimes it has to do with the physiology and how they're allowing themselves to, the amount of sleep they're actually getting. So a lot of people in this sport tend to be, you know, very ambitious type of people, and they have a tendency to sleep short. And so that's where a lot of the injuries, getting less recovery pieces, which is not just like not running, it's, you know, sleeping right. And then the nutrition pieces as well, the nutrition and hydration pieces as well. You're not building the adaptions that you need in your muscles properly if you're not feeding your body the right things that they need in the different stages. And that peaking stage where you are getting into that 16 to 20 miles is when you have to make sure that you have developed a consistent routine, developed a thing that has worked for you nutrition-wise throughout the season during that phase.
Yeah, and this is also, I mean, speaking of the nutrition, like not just what it's important what you eat before you run and after you run, but also while you're running. That's right, folks. You heard it here. You get to eat while you run. And we'll be getting into more of that throughout the season. That's just as important as practicing eating while you run as all of the other components. Because it's like an ant farm, Lori, you know, like you can't just not feed those ants while they're designing their designs in your ant farm. Otherwise, when you have your party and you're like, hey, everyone, look at my ant farm, it's going to look like a glass of sand.
Yeah.
That's not impressive.
No, not impressive at all. So it moves us into our fourth phase, the taper phase. So this is the time after you've built up to the, you know, the peaking, the highest mileage and volume and intensity that you'll be doing, you get the taper. And the taper in our program is traditionally 3 weeks. From the coaching side, this is usually the panic time. A lot of people are always come to me during this time and say, I missed my 20-miler, I missed my 18-miler. What do I do? Or do I cram it in all in the last few weeks? And this is the time that is not, we don't cram in endurance sports at all.
No, no. And I mean, even ants in an ant farm don't cram.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So during this time, you'll see a slower, mileage decrease over time. But one of the biggest questions you get, especially marathon training, is why don't you go over 20 miles? And this is probably more recently one of the most debated topics that are out there, and everybody approaches it a little bit differently. But what I have found with coaching and training is that there are a couple of different approaches that work for different athletes. There's just not one rigid type of plan that works for everybody. And there's different ways that you can do this. Some of the more experienced athletes might do a 2-week taper instead. You'll see that some of the training programs have a couple of 20 milers in there. First timers, we typically don't recommend it, because the reason why you do a taper is that when you do build up to 18 or 20 miles, it takes longer for your body to make the training adaption that it needed to adapt to that run and to recover. So you want to have full recovery before you go into your race.
Mm-hmm. And for people who have done a couple races, they have some of that mileage under their belt already. They notice that a 2-week taper is more appropriate, because having that experience, they not only have the experience of that endurance on their legs, but their body can recover a little more quickly because they've done it over and over again. And for me, the 2-week taper is perfect, because if the moment I take a 3-week taper, and you'll hear us discuss taper madness, because you've been eating like you're, you know, gonna run a 20 miler on the weekend, and your body gets used to like all that high mileage. And for somebody who is maybe a little bit of a spaz like myself, a 3-week taper feels like 3 months, and my body doesn't know what to do with itself, and it just can't handle that extra week. For myself, when I first started doing the 2-week taper, that was the first time I stopped gaining weight during taper. I would gain 5 to 10 pounds during my taper. I have since learned how to fuel myself appropriately, but boy, was that a anomaly for me. I was like, oh man, I gotta eat this entire cake by myself. Much like an ant farm, you know, bringing it back.
Yeah, I don't know how on that one applies. I'll have to think about that one for a second. But so again, what we're going on with this taper and overall with this training plan is we have prescribed training plans that we send out to the group. We have a coaching staff, actually. There's over 20 coaches that are in the training plan or program that are all here to help you make those tweaks. So everybody's going to need something that's a little bit different and unique. And we'll talk about that throughout the season. We hope that the training team sends us tons of questions. We're going to be doing these podcasts again to go over the frequently asked questions and sort of discuss, you know, everybody's different experiences of that and how it works a little bit differently for everybody else. A lot of it has to come down to the fitness level that you started at. A lot of it has to do with just genetics, and there's nothing you could do to get around that. But there's all kinds of ways and, you know, tips and tricks out there that helps people, everybody become successful at the goals that they want. But you just have to find those right things. And that's what makes marathon training and half marathon training so much fun. There are all kinds of alternative ways to train. There's a lot of things you learn about yourself and how you can be consistent and what workouts that you like the best and look most forward to. And we have this training group here. Even though we are starting off virtually, we're trying to provide you guys with a lot of different things virtually that you can help feel connected in the program, and you can all share your experiences with. Because especially people that have been in this business a long time, your coworkers are not going to care, but all of us in the program care. And so you could talk all day long about running, and it is really fun.
It is.
And to share that experience with others that have experienced have been through a training season and realize what every single one of you are really capable of doing.
Yeah, throughout this journey, you're going to go through so much and realize so much about your body, and you're going to want to talk about things that you've never discussed with another person before. And knowing that you have coaches there to listen to that, but also fellow athletes that are going on that same journey with you, the connection that you're going to feel to your body, but also with the community of runners in at Chicago Endurance Sports will hopefully get you across that finish line healthy and happy.
So this particular podcast was just really trying to give you a big overview of what you can expect in the training plan. We'll have more, like I said, going forward, talking about specifically the questions that you're going to have. A lot of the questions come in the first month. They're all excellent questions, you know, because there's a lot of things to learn about this. There's a lot of questions to answer. There's a lot of things to learn, like I said. So we'll talk more about nutrition and hydration. We have other training partners that complement everything else in the program that we'll kind of bring on and talk with. So as, you know, we're hitting the home stretch here, Coach Cynthia.
That's right. We're hitting the home stretch and the hydrate. So some things after your long run, you will want to be stretching and hydrating. So for our home stretch, we're going to try to leave on a positive note here, something that we're looking forward to. And for me, something I'm looking forward to is receiving those participant emails with questions relating to training and being able to help all the different runners out virtually and getting to know some of you through email and other virtual ways. And something that I'm using to hydrate myself these days is iced coffee. That's right. I make an extra pot of coffee in the morning, shove it in the refrigerator. Then around 4 o'clock, I have a nice iced coffee. What about you, Lori? What is something that you're looking forward to for this coming week?
I'm looking forward to meeting all the participants. I know it'll be virtually, a lot of it will be through email, because Coach Cynthia and I are two individuals that will be sending out a lot of the training schedules. I'm looking forward to you guys kind of hearing about our other coaches. We have a lot of talent within the coaching staff, and these aren't just people that can run super fast and that's why they're coaches. These are people that have a lot of experience either with running. They have a specialty. We have some coaches that have some personal training certificates, others that have run ultra marathons, others that are just really motivating and make a really, really positive connection with everybody. So I'm looking forward to seeing the athletes that we do have, looking forward to how we're all going to get creative together to meet virtually. But we do have virtual training partners that will you'll have access to. And again, some of these podcasts, we're going to do some things online. Look forward to our new member orientation. That is just another avenue that we will be introducing what you can expect from your training package. And hydrating wise, I have become slightly addicted to bubbly. So the
the sparkling water.
Yeah, like the newer sparkling water that's come out over the past year, or maybe that's just here in Chicago it's come out. But cherry bubbly is my...
Cherry.
And cherry, yeah.
I mean, some of the TV shows I watch, that's one of their sponsors, and it's all about Michael Bublé.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess he is one of the front guys for bubbly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Figured that out. That's good.
Great. Well, this has been an amazing first Coach's Corner. There might be more ant farm analogies.
You know,
and it might be done.
You know, you presented that as if that was ready to go. I'm not 100% it is. So I look forward to you going. I look forward to you perfecting that ant farm analogy.
I mean, I feel like I can make it happen, you know?
I think if anybody can, Coach Cynthia can.
Excellent. Well, it's been marvelous, Coach Lori.
You too, Coach Cynthia. So we look forward to training with everybody to wrap up, and we'll we hope you listen next time, and
happy training.